Ecclesiastes 4, verses 9 to 10. Two are better than one, because they have a reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Pastor.
Happy Sabbath. Happy Sabbath. Wonderful to be here, isn't it? Praise the Lord and together. I don't know if any of you noticed driving in. I just kind of feel compelled to mention this. Did you see the title on the board out front? We just drive in. Yeah, I drove in and I'm not blaming anybody, but I kind of chuckled. The sermon title on the board says, to be goose. I hope everybody driving by doesn't think that we want to be goosed. The sermon title, actually, there's a couple of words just dropped out of it, and that happens. It's technology, but it's want to be a goose. Stay with me today. It will make sense. Well, as your pastor, as a shepherd of the flock, we're going to find out from God's word what you can expect from me. Sound like a good idea? What is the work of a shepherd? Turn to Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 6. It says, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have caused them to go astray. They've turned them away on the mountains. They've gone from mountain to hill, and they have forgotten their resting place. Oops, that must not be the one I'm looking for. Let's try Jeremiah chapter 10. Turn back to Jeremiah 10, verse 21. For the pastors are become brutish and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Oh, boy, that's not very flattering, is it? Let's try another text. Let's try Jeremiah 23, verses 1 and 2. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, ye have scattered my flock, driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. Whoa. I know what the problem is. We must have the wrong book of the Bible. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 34, starting in verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Oh, prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken, and neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. Neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. Jump down to verse 18. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten of the good pasture, but you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures? And to have drunk the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet? As for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet. They have drunk that which fouled with your feet. My goodness, wow, are you sure you guys want a pastor? Well, I can tell you some horror stories where some pastors have come into churches and caused all kinds of problems. You might know a few yourself. So I have a question for you today. What safeguards do you have in place to protect this church from a rogue pastor? I'm going to outline for you a sure safeguard. Perhaps it's a bit radical, but it is definitely biblical. We want it biblical, amen? And we're going to have a surefire plan to keep this church from ever being scattered by any pastor or any member or anybody. And that is this. If the church will just do as the geese do, it won't matter at all what pastor you get stuck with. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 and 10. Dr. Mark read it for us this morning. We're going to look again. Two are better than one because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him that's alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Have you ever read the article or seen the one called Lessons from the Geese? Obviously, that's what I want to pull from today. I'm going to quote them. As each goose flaps its wing, It creates an uplift for the bird following. By flying in the V formation, the whole flock adds 71% more flying range and power than if each bird flew alone. 71%. If a goose falls out of formation, it suddenly feels the drag and resistance of trying to fly alone and quickly gets back into formation with the lifting power of the birds immediately in front of them. When the lead goose gets tired, it rotates back in formation and another goose flies at point position. Leadership is shared. Sometimes the geese honk from behind to encourage those up front to keep up their speed. And when a goose gets sick or wounded, two geese drop out of the flock to stay with and help the injured bird until it can fly. Or it will stay with them until it dies, and then the two geese will join another flock, another formation of geese. Amazing, isn't it? Do we have any lessons there we could pull from it? Do you realize that doing as the geese do, a pastor would almost be irrelevant? Not just my words. From the Great Controversy Bulletin, April 12, 1901, Ellen White says, quote, "The churches are dying, and they want a minister to preach to them. They should be taught that unless they can stand alone without a minister, they need to be converted anew and baptized anew." Wow. Strong words. That's a quote to boost a minister's self-esteem. Unless they can stand alone. When the lead goose gets tired, it rotates back into formation and another goose flies at point. It's leadership shared. You know, the same thing happens bicycle racing or ever rode with other people some distance. You know what drafting is? You get behind and you'll see they'll rotate because being up front, breaking that wind is tiring, but being in the slipstream helps. Dolphins do the same thing as they travel. Because now here we're talking about the priesthood of believers, the third plank in the Protestant Reformation. Every member ministering to each other. If a dominant gander decided he wanted to lead the geese in all ways, all the time, what would happen to the forward momentum of the flock? It would be greatly diminished. Could the same hold true for the church? Evangelism, page 113. Sometimes ministers seek to embrace the whole work in their arms. It absorbs and dwarfs them, yet they continue to grasp at it all. They seem to think that they are alone or to work in the cause of God while the members of the church stand idle. This is not God's order at all. Close quote. Well, then what is God's order? That's a good question, isn't it? Let me tell you something about the early Advent movement. The Adventist Church, in its beginnings, recaptured the biblical model of church organization that had been lost during the dark ages of apostasy. In this biblical model, the paid clergy were to be administrative and evangelistic rather than the primary caregivers. That responsibility rested primarily in the hands of the local church. So a definition of preacher, according to this document, comes from the church, its organization, order, and discipline, 1907. She says, quote, "A preacher of the gospel, not fixed in one place, but traveling as a missionary to preach the gospel and establish churches." Told you this was radical, didn't I? But you can see how under this plan, really, a pastor couldn't ruin a good church if we were all operating under this, because the early Seventh-day Adventist church continued to exist and grow and flourish without settled pastors to a large extent until early 1920s. The quote, A.G. Daniels, Ministerial Institute Address in Los Angeles, California, March 1912. Quote, "We have not settled our ministers over churches as pastors to any large extent. And I hope this will never cease to be the order of affairs in this denomination. For when we cease our forward movement work and begin to settle over our churches, to stay by them and do their thinking and their praying and their work that is to be done, then our churches will begin to weaken, to lose their life and spirit, and become paralyzed and fossilized, and our work will be on a retreat." close quote. Let's face it. We have settled pastors in North America, don't we? Yeah, it's the way things have been done for some time. You know, when I grew up, when my dad was pastoring, they moved us every 3 to 5 years. Now it's 5, 7, 10. I know some that have been in a district for 30 plus years. Settled. From Ellen White, Atlantic Union Gleaner, January 8th, 1902. There should not be a call to have settled pastors over our churches. Yeah, but there has been. We have them now. So let's go on figuring out how we can counteract the possible negative effect of us settled pastors. I'm settled, right? We settled here. Don't know for how long. Hopefully, till the Lord comes back. Again, A.G. Daniels, Ministerial Institute Address in Los Angeles, California, 1912. Again, our churches will begin to weaken and lose their life and their spirit and become paralyzed and fossilized, and our work will be on retreat. I wonder if maybe that's some of what's happening in America. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. It tells us just what the geese have been trying to tell us all along. God has many lessons in nature. 1 Peter 5, verses 2 and 3. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. That sounds better, doesn't it? So God says leadership should be shared. Pastors are not the head of the church, friends. Jesus Christ holds that position. Pastors are guardians and overseers and under-shepherds, but pastors are members of the body, just as any other follower of Jesus is. I may be the heart, but it's not any more important than the kidney or the spleen or anything else in the living organism. We're all in this together. And of every aspect of spiritual life, the gifts and the talents that there are in the members sitting right here this morning, many of you are superior to me. No doubt. And I say, what a shame it would be if all that you receive from this church is what I have to offer. Because God has things in all of you. What a shame it would be. Because maybe some of you are better at giving spiritual counsel and advice. You may be my superior when it comes to praying or preaching or visiting those in need. Many of you may be more knowledgeable in the Word of God than I. In fact, if you ever hear anything from this sacred desk that is not biblical, we don't want anything contrary to the Word of God or the testimony of Jesus Christ, that would ever come from me, I beg of you to come to me later and let's discuss it, because I don't want anything like that to come from here. And if you hear anything from anyone else in this podium that's not biblical or that's not done in God's love and in the character of Jesus Christ, you need to go speak to them yourself first, because they would want to know also if something had been askew, or else we wouldn't want them standing here. God calls us to guard this sacred desk carefully. But we are a priesthood of believers. Amen? Each one of us should prefer our brother and our sisters over ourselves. Each one of us should be ministering to the needs of each other. It's called shared leadership, the priesthood of believers. Each one of us is our brother's and sister's keeper in love and encouragement. Continue on in our paragraph in that article, Lessons from the Geese. Sometimes the geese honk from behind to encourage those up front to keep up their speed. Sounds good, doesn't it? You hear them flying by. Problem is, sometimes we use our honker to criticize or to judge or to complain or to speak ill. We need to use our honker to encourage, to edify, to uplift. Hebrews 10, verse 24, says it this way, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." We could stop there. Dr. Mark kind of said maybe this has got something to do with nominating committee. Well, it doesn't directly, but it does indirectly. God calls us unto love and to do good works, and to step up and to be involved in God's church is good works.
God wants to work through the gifts he's given all of you to find where you fit in this mosaic of the church, how you can edify and lift up and be involved in his work. So yes, consider how we should provoke one another to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So God doesn't want you to fly off by yourself. He wants you to come together. You know, anytime they fly off, just like the geese, you're against the headwind. It is harder, plus you're easy pickings for the eagles and anything else that is out there. But when we hold together as the flock of God and exhort one another and uplift one another and encourage one another, Satan can't get in on you like when we fly off by ourselves. Back to Hebrews 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another. That's a positive, that's encouraging. And so much the more as you see the day coming. God is letting us know that it's going to get tough, it's going to get harder and harder. And if you're off flying by yourself, you're going to be against a hurricane wind. But as you come together as the flock, we encourage and uplift and share one another's burdens. And we're much more successful. Review and Herald, May 7, 1889. She says, while you should respect ministers highly for their work's sake, you must not trust them as your saviors, but build yourselves up in the most holy faith. Yourself. Finishing up on our nature illustration. When a goose gets sick or wounded, two geese drop out of the flock and help the injured bird until it can fly. Or if it dies, the two geese then join the flock in another formation of geese. So with that example, under the original apostolic church organizational plan, the members provided primary care for each other. Does that sound biblical? Search your Bible software at home. Nice Sabbath afternoon thing. Search your software. You'll find 35 times we're told what we're to do to one another. Maybe you'll recognize. I'll just put some of these phrases from the Bible. Love one another. Be kindly affectioned. In honor, preferring one another. Show compassion for one another. Comfort, edify, and exhort one another. Have the same care for one another. Submit to each other. Admonish one another. Consider one another. Bear one another's burdens. Be subject to one another. Have fellowship with one another. And it goes on. It's a beautiful picture of this community of mutual caring that was such a powerful witness for the gospel in the apostolic church. And the very same thing will carry that message to the world today. Well, it's probably fair if you're kind of wondering, okay, well, what about the work of the paid clergy? Isn't that what he's paid to do? If the members are supposed to provide the primary care and nurture for each other, what in the world's a pastor for? Bible says some things about that too. Actually, in Ephesians 4, verse 11 is the only time you'll find in the New Testament the word pastor. Ephesians 4, 11, where it says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Notice, pastor is linked up with teacher. The job description is given in the next verse, verse 12. It says, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The New English Bible version says it very plainly, says, to equip God's people for the work of service. So the work of the paid clergy biblically is to prepare God's people to do the work of ministry, to be a trainer, equipper, an encourager, a guide. So yes, I am most interested in finding out how I can assist you in becoming worldlier. You heard me right. I don't mean in acting worldlier or looking more worldlier or dressing more worldlier. Where do you leave all that behind when we follow Christ? I mean in reaching out to the world around you. Ministry of Healing 143, you've heard me before. One of my favorite texts, it should be in quotes. She says, Christ's method alone. That grabs my attention every time, even to date. Christ's method alone gives true success in reaching the people. The Savior mingled with men as one who desired their good. He showed his sympathy for them. He ministered to their needs, won their confidence. Then he bade them follow me. Christ's method alone.
What are you doing that allows you to mingle with those not of your faith? You ever thought of that?
I like to propose that if your neighbor's into archery, go buy yourself a used bow and get involved in that sport.
If you hate to fish, if your neighbor's a fisherman and loves to fish, you're into fishing now big time. You're not into it for the fish you're going to catch. You're into it for the fish you're going to win. Making your new fishing buddy or quilting partner or whatever it is that they like to do a subject of your daily prayer and keep befriending them. And wait for God's timing to bid them follow Jesus. But we need to mingle, right? We need to get out of that salt shaker we talked about. And we're stuck in the salt shaker. The salt has to mingle to do any good. To have any worth at all, you've got to get out of the salt shaker. The goal of our stint of service here in Sutherland is to see every goose and gander present here this morning or listening to press together, to encourage one another personally, to become loving and personally interacted with each other and in their worldly pursuits, to start mingling, to start making friends outside of that area so that you can show them what Christ has done in your life. As each goose flaps its wings, it creates an uplift for the bird following. By flying in a V formation, the whole flock adds 71% more flying range and power than if each bird flew alone. That's significant. Would you like to increase your spiritual vigor 71%? Would you like to know that if you were hurting one day, a couple of fellow travelers would lovingly come to your aid? Yes. We know we have many who do that already. But I would like to challenge each of you in this flock, if I may, to find how you can become more actively engaged in supporting and loving one another and with those outside of your faith. God will present the opportunity. We need to be faithful and show what Jesus has done for us. That's your testimony. Your testimony nobody can argue with. And that can open the doors for conversations that God will lead you through that you will be able to show the Savior. And He will work on their hearts and draw them in. So it is true. It is up to us. We can either just fly out of here and join the next flock of geese heading out, or we as a church can simply do as the geese do. We can follow their example of community. We can care and love the same way that they do for each other. That's a flock I want to be a part of. How about you? May God continue to bless and guide us as we try to follow His word by His Spirit in all ways that He may be glorified as He works in all of our hearts, because we want to be like Jesus. Amen? Jesus' method alone. Pray over that. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, that is the desire of our hearts, to be like Jesus. Lord, we can't do it, not a chance, without You. So we humbly bow before You and ask that Your Spirit would touch our hearts and our lives and lead us into a deeper relation with You so that Your character can live out in our life as we continue that step-by-step growth. And Father, may we learn how to get out of our comfort zone, to step out and try to mingle. As You reminded Sister White, You said Christ's method alone brings true success. Forgive us if we try to go out alone. Lord, may Your power and Your Spirit work through us, that everything, every ministry, every person here, Lord, will be so filled with Your Spirit and Your love that we will be willing to be led by You to discover our gifts and to put them to work as You have given us. So, Lord, bless this church. Bless each one of us, we ask. For You are not done working in any of our hearts and our lives. We praise You for that goodness. We ask for Your guidance, protection. Father, fill us with Your Spirit. We ask in Jesus' holy name. Amen.